And in Haggai chapter 2 this morning for our message, we'll be looking at the first 9 verses. So let us read now from Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Let us hear God's holy and infallible word. In the 7th month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, 'Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel,' says the Lord, 'and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land,' says the Lord, 'and work. For I am with you,' says the Lord of hosts. 'According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our title for this morning's message is "Be Strengthened." Be strengthened in seeing God's glory. Be strengthened in seeing God's glory. I don't know how many people here have ever built anything with your hands, or ever, maybe for a project, maybe you do it for your work. But have you ever had an experience where you've had high hopes at the beginning of that project, and maybe you're following a picture, a model, something like that, and by the time you follow the instructions on the packet, maybe it's helping your kids with a small model or something like that, but it doesn't look like the picture. It doesn't look like the picture. Perhaps you begin to work on an old building and you want to return it to its former glory. And you think, "Ah, can't be that hard." It's only when you begin the work that you realize it's far harder and often far more expensive than you realized. Spiritually, you have plans to reach the community with the gospel, and you knock on doors, you invite everybody to church. You do everything in your power. You labor, you labor, you labor, and perhaps few, if any, come at all. And in your eyes, it's a letdown. We all experience this in one way or another. You set off, you've got high hopes, and the things that you did are often not what you imagined they would be. And sometimes, in our eyes, it can be a big disappointment. I emphasize our eyes, because it's not the way God sees it. In our lives, church or personal, in our businesses or in our relationships, and it can leave us, through much of our walk with Christ, feeling deflated. And this feeling, dear brethren, is universal. Every single one of us have faced times when we feel like we can't get up. It might not seem obvious. Other people seem to be so strong. How can they deal with that? But we've all gone through periods in our lives when we just feel deflated. We feel in our heart, this is not what it's supposed to be. And here is so often where discouragement can come in, and where the enemy of our souls will say to us, give up. Stop the work. It's a waste of time. You're fit. What difference is it going to make? It's easy in church life to point out what is wrong. It's very easy to do that. What we lack. But what is hard is to find the reason to keep going. Once you have started in your journey with Christ, to keep going. Once you have started the work, that you keep going. Sometimes in the midst of disappointment, we miss the blessings before us. And so often, the longer we live in this earth, we realize things are not, they're never as bad as we think they are. Or often they're never as good as we think they are. Here in our text, we have in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, we have the third oracle which has been given to Haggai, the prophet of God. The last oracle that was given is recorded there at the time, one verse before that in Haggai 1:15, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. Real kings, real history, real situations. This really happened. And this next oracle, the third oracle recorded in the book of Haggai, is about a month, roughly a month later. On the seventh month, in the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying. And in the last oracle, there was something wonderful. Repentance came to God's people. Something that should warm our hearts. Again, it's very easy to point out what is wrong with the church, but praise God when we see repentance. Repentance. They repented of their neglect in the rebuilding of the temple of God. The temple of God lay in ruins for years, for some 16 years, because of the opposition that they faced from those outside them, those who didn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. Now, there's no more delayed obedience. The work is happening. The work, the labor of the work is going on. What might they now struggle with? What might they now struggle with? Let's remind ourselves of what God's people had gone through. 70 years of exile that they faced. Thrown out of their own land because of their disobedience. And of course, what would they have heard while they were in exile in a foreign land? They would have no doubt have heard of the former glory of Solomon's temple. And also what the other prophets spoke of the future temple to come. We see that in the book of Ezekiel, especially in the last 8 chapters. Did their temple look like the one in their heads? Once they started building, they're about a month into it, did it look like the way they had imagined? Not at all. They've just been corrected. They've just been rebuked. They repent. They're going forward with the work. And it's disappointing to them. God's people need encouragement, brother. They need strength. They need to see God's glory as revealed in God's word. And let us ask ourselves this question as we look at the text here this morning. How do we face our own disappointments in our walk? How do we face them and keep going? And what do we look for encouragement and strength? Number one, we're going to look at strength in seeing former glories. Strength in seeing former glories. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Read from verse 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? There is great encouragement that we can take when we look back in church history, is there not? Especially our own history of our own denomination as Covenanters, going back to the 17th century. Men who died for the faith, men who died for what they believed in. When the churches became full in times of revival, we think of the 1859 revival in Ulster. When the Spirit worked tremendously to change sinners' hearts to God. But while there is much encouragement in the glories of the past, former glories, and we should take encouragement from it, there's also the temptation to read of these great men of the past, and we compare the church of the past with today and the situation we're in today. And when we compare it, is it as nothing in our eyes? Is it as nothing in our eyes? Because let's face it, we can think, when we especially compare it with the 17th century, 16th century times with John Knox and other men like that, there is the temptation to be massively disappointed with what we have today. Just as they did in Haggai's day. Just as when they compare the temple, we have our spiritual temple today, the Church of the Living God. And we compare that with the John Calvins, the Martin Luthers, and all those men. And what do we can't help but feel? That sense of, is it as nothing in our eyes? Some in our text here have been around long enough, they would have seen Solomon's temple. It says in verse 3 of this text, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? There were 70 years in exile. Some of them would have seen the old temple before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. And they would have told people how magnificent it was. This was utterly unimpressive externally from what had gone before. And there was no denying that. It wasn't the same outwardly as the previous temple in terms of the wealth and the splendor and the gold and the silver. It just wasn't the same. Should we then ignore the past? No. The Bible is filled with examples we can learn that it can encourage us to keep going. The way God delivered his people in the past, we should strengthen ourselves to face what comes ahead in looking back to where God has delivered his people in the past. God has delivered his people in the past. God is with his people in this rebuilding effort as much as he was with those he delivered from Egypt. He reminds them of this. It says in verse 5, after telling them, and work, I am with you. He says this in verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. As so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. He reminds them of that time when they were brought out of Egypt. Their salvation, their deliverance as a nation. God is with his people just as much because it is according to his covenant. In a way, the focus is wrong because we're so focused, are we not, on the external beauty of the temple. The things that look impressive to the world. Solomon's temple was externally beautiful and a marvel of all the nations. But Solomon's temple was not ultimately about the glory of Solomon. And it wasn't something just to go, oh, it terminated just in the temple. It was to point toward something greater, something more wonderful, a kingdom far greater, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom where one of the descendants of David would come and sit upon the throne, and that kingdom would have no end. Something far greater than that of Solomon's kingdom. We rejoice in the past. We rejoice in the revivals God has brought. But even greater multitudes are going to be saved in the future, dear brethren. Let us remind ourselves of that. We need to look at the former glories in the right way, as they, Haggai, Zerubbabel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the remnant of the people, they needed to look at it in the right way. If they looked at it merely externally, what had they to look at externally? The temple, this new temple they were building, was pathetic in comparison with the old one externally. And they were just a remnant of the people. Not everybody left the land during exile. And we might not realize this, but not everybody came back. Not everybody wanted to come back. Some of the Jews had a quite comfortable existence in exile. And they stayed there and they remained there. And there's just a remnant that are interested in this. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man does. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Same way we think of, we look at the externals, we look at the outward. God looks far deeper than that. This will lead to discouragement if we forget the deeper truth. It says, and God encouraged them through his prophet Haggai in Haggai 2:4, it says this, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord." Be strong. Have courage. Don't faint. Don't be weary in the face of, in the heat of this rebuilding effort. Don't become fearful, which is the opposite of being strong. Don't be discouraged. No, it's easier said than done, isn't it? It's easy just to say to him, well, don't be this. We face this. We face discouragement, we face fear, we face worry. But God says to his people, take courage in God and in what he has done. He tells them in the sense, and he's telling them one by one, be strong. Not just be strong, everyone, in a very general sense. He's naming them out one by one, starting with the leadership, Zerubbabel and Joshua, and the remnant of the people. He goes around the leadership by name and calls them to be strong. Then he calls on the people. And as I was thinking about this during the week, it's not that the leadership are the most important people, or that they're set out into being amazing. But don't forget, dear brethren, that those in leadership need encouragement. They need encouragement. Think of your leadership in these congregations in Belen and Balane. Don't forget to encourage your elders. We think once they're elected, they're going to encourage me. And they're going to be doing this for me. But what about them? We all think sometimes about people in leadership, regardless of where they are, that they're like some type of supermen. But they're just like you or I. They need your prayers and they need your encouragement in the Lord. that can just be. We can struggle in this area. We need to encourage one another. There's a sense in which here also Haggai, with the Lord's message, is going around one by one, like a rallying call. Imagine, if you will, a manager at halftime in the middle of a football game. And he's not just saying, come on, everybody, let's do it. He's going to the captain of the team and he's telling, come on now. He knows the leaders. He knows those ones that if they drop their performance, everyone does. So he's going around one by one, encouraging them, taking interest in them. Be brave, be strong, to keep going. To keep going, because it is not easy. It is not easy. What God did in the past to glorify himself, he can do again. And, dear brethren, he will do far greater. So we looked at, number one, strength in seeing former glory. Now we're going to look at number two, strength in seeing present glory. Strength in seeing present glory. And this, no doubt, is the one we struggle with the most. We often struggle with to see the blessings we have in our life today. No matter what we're facing, no matter what difficulties, no matter what we may have lost up until this point in our walk, we have things to thank God for. When revival comes, it encourages everyone. But when a church is at a low place or just isn't seeing the results, as it were, it can be difficult and hard to keep going. It can be a real struggle to see what we have. The people in Haggai's day also struggled to see what they had. The amazing blessing to be brought back into the land. I was reading this morning my devotions in Isaiah 44. Hundreds of years before that, Isaiah had prophesied that they'd be brought back into the land again. It's a wonderful thing that will glorify God. Even at that moment, it is wonderful. And it didn't look impressive, but it all glorified God. He gives them a reason to be strengthened in seeing not only just the glories of the past, but the glories of the present. Not as easy to see verses 4 and 5. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Second half of verse 4. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of the land of Egypt. Something far more wonderful than any physical building they had. At that moment, and all the nations around them were probably maybe laughing at them and distrustful of them and thinking, these people, they're dangerous, they're everything else, and why are they doing this again? But the greatest blessing that they have and the present glory that they had, God would be with them. God would be with them. We looked at this 2 weeks ago in our last sermon on Haggai, how God's people went from cowardice to courage. They went from cowardice to courage. They repented of their cowardice in abandoning the work. Now, did this mean that's the end of the story? They never had to face it again. Sometimes we think of repentance that way, that we'll never have to struggle with that sin again. We're done with that. Sometimes we think that the battle is over in certain areas of our lives. Not until glory in heaven, dear brother and sister in Christ. They needed to keep before them that God would be with them, to not fear. As he keeps saying to them over and over again, you know, doesn't it feel maybe sometimes if we don't realize how much we can fall back into our old ways, do not fear. Oh, why is it being said again and again? Because we do fear. We do worry. We are discouraged. We constantly need encouragement, even those people who are before you and don't look like they need encouragement. They need it. And God knew. God didn't just send Haggai to rebuke. He sent Haggai to encourage them, that they wouldn't fear. He also sent Zechariah at the same time to encourage them. The God of former glory in land is the same God of the present blessing that they had. The same God, the same covenant, the same promises, the same deliverer, the same Spirit being with them. To remind ourselves of that, and as they needed to. They had what the other nations who thought little of them did not have. They had the God of heaven. They had the covenant. And he is still there for his people. He is still there for his people. He is still here for you this morning, dear brethren. If you are worried, if you are discouraged, if you need strength, he is here for you this morning. Think now. We know, God is with us. But we'll say that to ourselves, and then we labor in the work of the kingdom of God, be it evangelism or whatever else it may be, and it may look unimpressive. Verse 5, and God, he says, and work. Because what was the temptation to do with the work? To stop. To stop the work. To lay down and say, well, this is not going to be like it was before. And when we give a gospel tract out to somebody, we almost in our minds say, well, I don't know, is he going to read that? Or, I've witnessed him 5 times before and he doesn't listen. Our work can look unimpressive for the kingdom. But we have to realize it's unimpressive in the eyes of men. Because we look at the outward, but God looks at the deeper realities, the deeper spiritual truths. The enemy wants us to stop working. The world, our flesh, and the devil wants us to stop. And as we think about things such as exiting lockdowns and all this kind of thing that's happening in our world today, what is the great temptation that we face as we return to quote-unquote normality? That we want to give up and not return to those things. Maybe you were laboring in some area before the lockdown and you just don't have that motivation or whatever to get back into it again. That we want to give up and not return to the work that was stopped. Oh, we're just a remnant. We're just a small number as they were. The return from the exile, who came back from exile. Externally, it looks like nothing. And it can be a long, difficult road ahead. But God has provision for the work. He sent Haggai to encourage his people here. And dear brethren, he provides ministers of the gospel, your own minister, week in, week out, preaching the gospel, sending him. The Lord has sent him to you to encourage you week in, week out. As he sent Haggai to encourage God's people in the work, to realize that there's provision. God has provision for the work and the labor. He has food when we get hungry. The word of God to keep going with our labor. And this is why we need to be constantly in the word of God. He has drink for when we get thirsty. Jesus Christ is the fountain of living water. He has shelter. He is our refuge in times of need and struggle. We run to him. When difficult times come, we run to him. We're not strong in and of our own selves. We're only as strong as we realize we are weak and look to him. Be strong. Keep the work going. Though it is hard, we all have need of God. And we have what is needed to strengthen us to keep going. The strength needed to profess God publicly. And this is getting harder and harder, isn't it not? Even up in this province. To profess that a God is your God. The God of heaven and earth. That he is your God. That Jesus Christ is Lord and Master. The strength needed to profess him publicly. It's not hidden away as it was in the days of Haggai. This work was open for all to see. All the enemies of God's people could see the work of the temple taking place. And they needed strength to face the opposition that would come, because the other nations, the people around them, did not want this work to continue. There is no private religion here. Everyone could see the building work taking place, and it brought opposition. Courage to see God's name glorified publicly. And we need strength to do that. So we've looked at strength in seeing former glory, strength in seeing present glory. Now finally, number three, we're going to look at strength in seeing future glory. Strength in seeing future glory. Verse 6 of our text. For thus says the Lord of hosts once more, it is a little while and I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. No matter how amazing the past was, we should thank God for what the deliverance of the Lord has brought us, or how blessed we may be today. And there's many things to thank God for. It is nothing in comparison with the glory to come. This was difficult for them here to accept. Because you know why? They expected it all now. If you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what are you struck by? They thought that he was going to bring in the kingdom immediately in its fullness and kick out the Romans, and it's established there and then. Even the apostles struggled with this. They all expected it now. All that the prophets wrote of before the exile and during the exile. And you could say they, like we are, like we all are, impatient. But God views time differently to us. 1 Peter 3 verses 8 and 9 says this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. God is not slack concerning his promises. These things that God's people would have heard of the former temple during the exile, that there would be something far greater to come, and they expected it all now. They expected it all now. Something which would indeed fulfill what the prophets wrote about of a greater temple to come, which will be mighty. And it would come. It will come. A temple far greater than that of the one Solomon had. And why? Why could they take courage? Why could they be strengthened in this? Why could they be strong knowing this? How could the message of do not fear, verse 6, do not fear right after that, for thus says the Lord of hosts, for this reason, it connects it in. It would happen for this reason. Once more, it is a little while, verse 6. I will shake heaven and earth. You see the power of God. The power of God. He is all powerful. God's people were to be strong and put away fear. See the power of God they served. See the power he would in the future demonstrate in greater fullness. He's shown it in the past. In Exodus 19, 18 says this. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. The mountain shook. Yet once more, in the future, God would shake even more than a mountain. What does it say in verses 6 and 7? I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations. Everything will be shaken far more, greater, a much greater demonstration of his power is coming. And they were terrified. As we read earlier in Hebrews 12, if you saw this, a mountain shaking, you would be shaking. The awesomeness of our God, and he's going to show even more in the future. We turn there briefly to Hebrews 12, verse 26. Hebrews 12, 26, because it quotes a section of this text and explains it. Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. This is quoted in Hebrews 12, 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, and now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, Paul writes to the Hebrews, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So do you get that? The things which are shaken will be removed. They'll be changed. They'll be renewed. And the things which cannot be shaken will remain. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The kingdom itself cannot be shaken. And everything else that is shaken will be removed. It will be, as we know from other parts of the Bible, it will be renewed. There will be a new heavens. There will be a new earth. What remains? God's glory, God's kingdom. Far more glorious than anything seen before. Something which cannot be shaken, cannot be taken away, cannot be removed, but is forever and ever. How many of the things our minds and our affections and our thoughts are focused on? What we fill our minds with most of the day. If we look at it, it is but dust. It will one day be dust. But here's something that will never be made dust. It will remain forever and ever, God's kingdom. Anything you labor for today, for the kingdom of God, which is for the glory of the kingdom of God, it may look unimpressive, but it will last. It will last. And when we think of things that are impressive to us, too impressive to our eyes, Haggai tells us that all these impressive things in the temple, the silver and the gold, they all belong to God. They all belong to God. It says, The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. It's all his, and what is coming is far more impressive than what came before. Far more impressive. This future glory is beyond, it's beyond our imagination, isn't it? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we struggle for words to describe. We know what came before. We know the great blessings that we have in salvation. But our minds cannot wrap themselves around how much more amazing what is to come. We can't get our heads around it, can we? We struggle. We're almost at the loss for words. We don't know what to say at times because it is staggering. Sinners like you and I who trust in Christ will enjoy the blessings of eternity with God forever and ever and ever. And all we want to do in heaven is worship him. And we won't get tired. We won't get weary of it. We'll love it. Every moment. Remember those times when you're weary on your knees and you just feel, why do I feel so tired? That weariness will be gone in heaven. A renewed earth with no sin, no suffering. A renewed heaven even. But what about you here today? Are you in need of strength to keep going in the Lord's work? Do you need strength? Don't be afraid to say that you do. I know I do. There are times we all want to appear that, no, I'm fine. I'm strong. I'm okay. I'm good. We all need this strength from God. We all need encouragement. We all feel deflated and weak at times in laboring for the Lord's kingdom. And do you need reminding, just as the people after the exile needed reminding of what God has done before, what they have, and what's going to come? Because that's the kind of thing that will get you through. You face the most horrible experience in your life, but you can see the end of the race. You see that that yellow tape at the end of the race. The marathon has been horrible. I don't know how I got through the last few miles. It's been torture, but you can see that last yellow line. It keeps you going. And we need to keep the end of our race ever before us. And maybe you aren't struggling here this morning. Maybe you're at a good point in your Christian walk. But can you go around and encourage others? Can you go visit others, those who are struggling, those who are not strong in the Lord? Encourage others by looking to Christ yourself, by being a good example, by being a godly Christian. Dear friend, dear brother and sister in Christ, let us all look to a greater glory which strengthens all who truly see it with the eye of faith. But perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know Christ. Repent of trusting in your own strength. Repent of looking to your own temporary glory and look to him. Look to him whose glory is far beyond anything we could ever imagine. Amen.